Dropped into Juice Box Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Don't touch that dial. You are exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. Or maybe you are one of our online listeners at CITR.ca. If you ever miss a show, don't forget you can download our podcast at juiceboxradio.com. But however you got here, we are glad to have you. Tonight's show is all about burlesque, so we will be taking calls, so feel free to call us in, or call in, and contribute to the conversation we're going to be having tonight. So do give us a call at 604-822-CITR. That's 822-2487. How are you, my darling?
That's good.
Thank you.
We need to get that one recorded, actually. That was perfect.
Oh my God. Thank you, darling.
So good. Hi, welcome back to Juicebox. Caroline and I are sitting here all alone.
I'm looking very hot and fine.
Looking very hot and fine. Feeling hot.
Very hot. Actually, Val, who just hosted the last show, actually asked us if we're going to do some burlesque in the booth.
Yeah, I think that's an option. I think we could perhaps do that.
I forgot my pasties, though.
Yeah, we're just not allowed to have sex in the booth, apparently.
That's true. So we could do whatever and whenever. And there is a window here, so in case you choose, you could come and take a look at us. And Julia looks very hot and sexy in her top. Mm-hmm. She's got all sorts of sequins all across the front and a nice plunging neckline.
Tits are coming out tonight, boy.
They look absolutely perfect.
as I pull my top up. Well, I was at Kundalini Ecstatic Dance this morning, dancing into wholeness, really beautiful exercises we're doing, and we're doing the crown chakra this morning, which is really aligning all of the chakras. And for those of us who don't know what chakras are, they're kind of energy centers that connect us to the earth and to sort of the higher self and like the higher powers that we can access around us. So feeling pretty blissed out today, even though I've got a lot of pressure doing my first parent night on Thursday,
which we're very excited about.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know if the parents are gonna be so excited, but I'll give you a full report next week. So who's our special guest tonight?
We are going to be having Teddy Smooth calling in.
Oh, I think he's calling at this very moment. He's right on time. What a good man.
He is a very good man in very many ways.
Okay, I'm going to answer it, and you just tell us what's happening.
Teddy Smooth is, in case you don't know, he is an amazing, amazing, amazing performer in terms of boylesque, which is male burlesque. And is he on? Is Teddy here?
Hold on, I'm getting them on. But aren't we going to talk about the fact that we're reviewing? What about Wet Spots from last week? We had a great time talking to them, but we put off the Burlesque Festival review because we wanted to have the Wet Spots on, and we did. And now tonight we're going to actually be reviewing the second annual International Burlesque Festival. Mm-hmm.
Which Teddy was one of the special guests who performed with Miss Vix at the Burlesque Fest.
Yes, and Juicebox was there on a press pass. It was really amazing. Mm-hmm. And so we have Teddy Smooth, who performed with Miss Vix, as you just said. I'm sorry, you probably just
I did.
Teddy, are you with us right now?
Yes, I am. Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm good.
Thank you.
So, thank you. So Caroline, she wrote up this fabulous list of questions for you, Teddy. Oh, you're breathing your nose into the phone. We're going
to
stop doing
that. Are you breathing heavy already? And we've just started our conversation.
So one of the things that I think Caroline loved about the work was that you would give 110%.
I've seen you perform several times.
Well, yeah, that's the only way to do it, right?
No, it's true, but
a lot of people don't.
Well, we saw a lot of different performances.
I don't know, I just think people don't want to see, like, you know, they want to kind of escape from stuff, so you need to be able to give them everything you got, or what's the point of being on stage?
That's true, but what blew me away about the festival is when I talked to you backstage in the performer's lounge, and you were completely sick, and it blew me away that you gave such an amazing performance, but you were pretty much keeled over when I saw you.
Yeah, you should have seen me backstage. Mm-hmm. I almost didn't make it on stage, but
seriously?
Yeah, I was doing pretty bad. I was really nauseous, and I was sweating, and it wasn't from nervousness, because I don't really get nervous. It was just really feeling really bad that day. But
was it the flu?
I had my partner there, and she was about to go on, so I just sort of breathed a little bit, and as soon as the music started, I sort of lost myself in the performance, and mm-hmm. for about 5 minutes or whatever the show was, mm-hmm. I was okay, and then as soon as I got off stage again, I was pretty bad.
You know, adrenaline is an amazing biochemical reaction that happens in our body that allows us to do superhuman feats. I mean, we've seen people that are trying to save a mother from underneath a crushed car, like they can lift a car all of a sudden. So, you know, it's we have amazing capability, but yeah, it's like it's a minute sort of, you know, limited amount, but you obviously called up all the powers within you. and without you, and went on stage, so good for you.
Super,
yeah.
Teddy.
Thanks.
I do want to ask you, how would you describe Boylesque?
Boylesque. For me, it's just guys' interpretation of burlesque, because there's not really that many set rules for guys, and I don't really like to just fall into copying what girls do, so it's sort of my interpretation. Whether all the other guys have the same idea, I'm mm-hmm. not sure, but for me, it's how I interpret burlesque, but as a guy standpoint.
Hmm. How would you interpret
What does that
it
look like, though? I'm kind of wondering. Like, what does that look like, a guy's standpoint?
What does it look like?
Yeah.
Like boylesque?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, for my shows, I tend to come at them at a comedic angle. I mean, I almost describe my shows as more like sketch comedy, where I just happen to be in like underwear at the end.
Okay, cool. I think burlesque is like that too in a lot of ways. I mean, maybe not as comedic, but they do have a lot of comedic elements to burlesque. So,
well, the roots of it are from vaudeville, so that makes perfect sense originally.
So when you say a boy's version, what does that look like? That's what I mean.
Well,
like, how are you
as just a picture for the listeners
gender,
who haven't seen
what's
you?
The difference?
Well, I mean, there's all sort of these standards for like the girls. There's always usually some sort of tassel and frilly underwear, and you know, a lot of the times when it's traditional stuff with big headdresses, and you know, there's more things to define what girls do, which can be good, but it can also be maybe, you know, hindered their performance as well, whereas I don't find there as many things with guys, so you're kind of left to make it up. I took it into play for me is that I started wearing underwear that had slogans at the back. Like, my first show, I was a chef, and at the back of my underwear, it said, "Suck them." Like, I just
oh, my God, I saw that.
Did you see the show?
I saw that show. I don't know when that was, like, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago?
It was a year, actually. Burlesque happened about a year ago,
yeah,
and then Battle of the Sasses.
Yes, that's what I saw. Oh, my God, I saw you.
that was, like, my first ever Burlesque.
It was really good.
What made you decide to get involved?
Well, the very first time, I actually was bartending at a party, and one of the girls, who's actually my roommate now, Malika Millions, she saw me and liked my energy and asked me to be a part of hers. Now, the first one I did with her was, I was more of like, I mean, I was definitely incorporated, but I was more of a prop. Like, she was the one who was like the main show. I was just more of sort of a, I was her coin-operated boy. And
nice.
She would turn me on, and I would break down and turn me on again and break down. And finally, she was dressed up in a big doll outfit and was ripping it off, revealing the beauty underneath sort of thing. So.
Nice.
Oh, my God, where was that? I saw that. That's so weird.
You're saying the Battle of the Sasses?
We did that at Toy Box Burlesque, and then we did it again at the Sisterhood Festival last year.
Ah, the Sisterhood last year, that's when I saw it. Oh,
yeah,
this
so
is crazy.
You've
Teddy,
seen me, and
Teddy's,
you haven't even known
it's
me.
I know. I'm just really excited about that. Wow. I've been around. Malika, I absolutely love her. I've been rousing up an amazing show, completely dedicated to her, and every time I see her, I'm like, so when are you going to be on Juicebox? She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You always tell me you're going to call me, blah, blah, but she's fabulous. You live with her? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I just moved in a couple months ago. It's pretty, it's great. It's pretty interesting at times. She's pretty, you know, she has lots of crazy ideas and,
yes,
like, really good. We just did, on Saturday night of the festival, we did one called the Big Bam Boobies, where it was a puppet show, like a Punch and Judy puppet show, but me and her were the puppeteers, but our puppets were Pheromones and Shaboobie Bubarella, their big breasts, and we change pasties to do the storyline. So that was all, you know, from her mind. So she comes up with some pretty, pretty cool and interesting stuff.
Malika is a cool, interesting girl. So you've been involved with burlesque for about a year. How long have you been doing the boylesque? Was that kind of that happened? I guess you sort of were a sidekick, and now when did you sort of take on
doing
your own persona, doing your solo show? Yeah.
Well, when they did boylesque about a year ago, like that coin operated boy was a year and a half in the November, and then they decided they wanted to put boylesque together, and they really. Like, I went to acting school with Crystal Precious, and she knew me as a performer, so she really pushed for me to do it, and I try to keep my motto, just say yes before I can think about why I can say no, because
that's a good motto.
I really thought about it, and when I do think about it, when I let it wander, it really scares the crap out of me, but
it would for all of us, I think, and does as well for me.
When did you go to acting school?
She really pressured for that, and I said, yeah, sure. So as soon as I said yeah, I started working on it,
mm-hmm.
and I was really struggling with it. And then when about 2 weeks away, it was hearing the song, and when I heard the song for that Chocolate Salty Balls from Chef, that was when I put together that Chef number, and it just came to me in about 10 minutes. As soon as I heard the song, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. So
In love with you. Oh, my God. I totally remember all of that. Oh, my God. Oh, it's fabulous. I wanted to know, you decided to get involved because of, you just wanted to jump in, and the girls were like, can you help, can you do this? And
which is
chocolate
fantastic.
Salty balls. And
I just spent a lot of time in the last 5 years traveling, and so in that fact, I haven't been able to perform, and I really mm-hmm. love to perform, so at first, it was just an avenue for me to be really creative, and these shows are definitely really creative. And coming up with my own, I mean, people think 5 minutes on stage is not that long, but
it's a long time.
It's a really long time.
It's an eternity up there if you don't know what you're doing. So coming up with, like, my own idea, I mean, and doing all that, it was really great for me creatively, and it's mm-hmm. really helped me in the last year, like, with all aspects of my life, being able to put together, like, these really fun and energetic shows that keep my mind going. So
give me an example of how it's changed your life, like outside of your work.
What's that? I didn't hear that.
Give me an example of how it's changed your life outside of work.
Well, just in general, I mean, I feel when I perform, I mean, you talk about adrenaline and stuff, but I mean, it just makes me happy to start to perform, to be up on stage, and it's something that comes really naturally, and it's really a lot of fun for me. And outside of that, like, I mean, it drives me, because when I'm not doing that kind of stuff and I'm doing sort of the, you know, the rent jobs, the mm-hmm. jobs you don't really want to do because
the bread
you
and butter.
Your day job.
The bread and butter, we can call
bread,
it.
The bread and butter jobs, yeah. I mean, it just, I'm not as happy when I can sit around, and I love being able to go to work by going to the beach and thinking about how to put together a show. I
isn't mean, that great? Don't
yeah,
isn't it wonderful?
Greatest thing ever. So
it is.
It just makes me strive to continue to do it and to continue to create stuff that's better, so that one day, and hopefully the near future, I won't have to do the bread and butter jobs. I can just do the jobs I love.
Yeah.
How much are you performing these days?
How much?
Mm-hmm. Like every weekend, or does it seem to vary a lot? Or?
It varies. I mean, with burlesque, probably I've been doing it once every month or two.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't pursued burlesque too much. Most of the time it's people asking me to come and perform because they've seen something, or because there's not very many people that do burlesque, so their options are also limited of who they can have.
Well,
they also know I haven't really, I mean, I've done a lot of good shows where I feel good about it and a lot of people like them, so
mm-hmm.
I've been asked to do a lot of shows as well. So,
well, I'm hoping to give you a bit of a gig coming up for the next Juice Box Salon. I don't know if you've heard about the salon, have you?
I read the part in the Sisterhood flyer.
Oh, well, I don't think I'm in the Sisterhood flyer, but I'm glad that you... It feels like it's familiar. Perhaps somebody else has stolen my creative ideas already. That happens a lot, so that's cool. I haven't seen the Sisterhood flyer, but
okay.
The Juice Box Salon is happening next, a week tomorrow. First one ever, and it's been sort of a creative output of myself and Michael Bean, and we have Lil Wu performing, but I'm really looking forward to having people like yourself on the next one, which will be on May 1st, so hopefully you won't be traveling quite by then, but let's get back to some questions I really have for you, which is around, you know, what's easier for you? Is it, or what's more fun, or what's more engaging or easier, solo performances or collaboration performances?
What's easier?
Or just like, you know, something you prefer or you've had more fun with, or that you would
really,
or
does it
depend
really
like on the
them
piece?
Both. I like the fact that when I do my solo stuff that I don't have to compromise,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes working
it's like
with
parenting.
A person, yeah, sometimes working with a person is actually good to have to compromise, because, I mean, their ideas, I've worked with some really great people. I mean, working with Malaika and working with Adrian something on my Batman and Robin thing. I mean, we just had like the best time just hanging mm-hmm. out and mm-hmm. coming up with how to make Batman and Robin really funny, but also keep the essence of what it was. So,
right.
Is it different working
like
with
doing
guys?
A home show.
Yeah.
I mean, I really liked forcing every idea to come from, you know, pretty much for me. I mean, there's always input if you're struggling or
mm-hmm.
with music, you know, sometimes. Like, Malaika's really great with music, too, so sometimes she can give me an idea of how to make it sound better, and that will give me an idea how to perform it better. So I like it all. I mean, they're
right.
great people. They're all really creative, so
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, it's not hard
right.
to work with those people.
Who have you found you've learned the most from, would you say, in terms of working with, collaborating wise?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
You know what, we're having some weird
technical
stuff going
problems.
On CITR, hard technical problems. Caroline was asking who you've really enjoyed working with the most. I think you mentioned Malaika, but are there others?
I had fun working with Miss Fix, and I had never worked with her before. But probably my most fun collaboration was to Batman and Robin, because we wanted to make them so heroic, yet be doing something entirely every day. So we came up with them doing laundry and different ways of making that, but really capturing the way they are heroically. So, we just laughed the whole time. And then when we got to do it, I mean, it was just it was just so much fun, because we really tried to do it, you know, capture the sort of homoeroticness of what people assume with Batman and Robin, but
right.
also make it,
yeah.
you know, sort of keep exactly what people think of it. So
yes.
I had a lot of fun with him.
That's
it
awesome.
Was, we had, he's a really creative, cool guy. So we had we just sit around and, you know, share a beer and then come up with ideas.
Ideas, exactly. Awesome.
Yeah.
What other types of entertaining do you do, Teddy Smooths?
Teddy Smooth. Well, I do acting.
You act? In what?
I've done some student films lately. I do auditions for that. I've done voiceover work for a bunch of the burlesques, and I'm hoping to get in more of that. And I do some acting, actually, through UBC Medicine, where I act as, like, mm-hmm. patients to train doctors and stuff.
Oh, very
through
good.
The standardized patient program?
Yeah, standard. Yeah, exactly. So that's also a lot of fun. And so it's all, I mean, it's only been about a year and a little bit since I've moved back to Vancouver and gotten back into stuff. So I'm
where
sort
were
of
you before
moving
then?
Into all those areas. I like entertaining, so I hate to say that I'm just an actor or just a this or just a that. I like to be a complete sort of entertainer, so I try to do a little bit of everything.
So Caroline did some fabulous research for on you before the show tonight.
Really?
And she was wanting to ask a few questions.
No, I just wanted to know in regards to where you went traveling when you traveled.
And performing spoken word, I thought. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know about spoken word. I want to know about the spoken word part. I don't know. This part, we know you're a great writer. Have you performed any spoken word? We're having technical difficulties. She can't understand. She can't hear me from behind here on the old booth. So please tell us a little bit about your spoken word experience.
I've never
Teddy.
Done spoken word.
You've never done it?
He's got some great poetry, though, on MySpace.
Writing and stuff has just been, I mean, up until the invention of MySpace, it was just, like, usually for myself or, like, a select few family members that I did most of my writing. My dad always said I'd make a good writer if I had an editor, because I don't really know how to break up a scene, and I can't really spell that well, but I have good ideas, and I'm kind of a natural storyteller, so...
Are you? Well, you seem very good on the radio. It's that's cool. Are you... We're writing notes to each other. Okay, I think we can hear... Can you hear Caroline's... Caroline, can you say something, honey?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
No, I can't really hear her. I heard her question about traveling, though.
Oh, that was a while ago. Okay.
She's kind of breaking in and out, and she's really in the background, like she's yelling from away.
Okay, so you know what it's felt? We've been having a lot of technical difficulties on CITR, which is part of the funding drive. I was hoping to help us make some money to help fix these things. So I think we'll try to figure it out on the break. But in the meantime, Caroline, I'm sure if you speak, you can ask this question. He'll hear you. Just try it.
Which question?
This one. What's next for you?
What's next for you?
What's next for you?
Yeah, like I heard a rumor that you might be planning to leave us and move to the States.
Oh, you said something about the U.S. thing.
Yeah.
I definitely wrote about that, and it's been a long while trying to get my citizenship. But no, that was really just to get to maybe have, because I know I had acting teachers in acting school, and there's famous stories, you know, of, unless you're well-known and you try to work in the States, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
If you get, like, say you have an audition down for a part down there, unless you're really known, it's like, well, why don't you just hire an American actor? So and I've heard horror stories about trying to get visas, and there's countless ones. So I have the opportunity to get it because my dad was born and raised and lived a great deal of his life down there, and two of my sisters have theirs and live down there right now. So I just wanted to get it. Their passports are good for, you know, 10 years, and I didn't want my opportunity to expire
mm-hmm.
without me getting it, because if you know, now I have it, then if something comes up like that, I can just go. But mm-hmm. my plans are not really anymore. Maybe when I was, like, 18 and thinking about the stars like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm much more interested in the Canadian sort of film scene and seeing if that can grow and trying to... So if I move anywhere, it would be probably east to, like, Toronto or Montreal. But,
gotcha.
Why Toronto, Montreal? Why?
More of a film industry there?
Why move there instead
yeah.
of live here?
Yeah.
No. Well, from what I know, I mean, I'm not hugely versed in this area, but from my some of my research and stuff, like there's a lot of stuff filmed here, but a lot of it is already cast. There's, you know, bit parts for people, and you can get lucky and get stuff, and it's a beautiful place to live. But if you look at stuff like the Genies, and for those who don't know, it's the American version or the Canadian version of Oscars, most of the films, like 90% of the films, are made out east because that's where, like, the money is, and that's where it's more established. Now, I'm hoping in the next few years that Vancouver can take some of the money it gets from, like, American stuff shooting up here and start to create a lot of its own stuff. But for now, not, as far as I can tell in my research, not a lot is being done in that area here. It's mostly just American productions being shot here that are mostly already cast already. So, you know, you get the part of the cop that says, he went that way. Or, you know, I mean, there are some TV shows. I have a buddy from film school that's on Battlestar Galactica, so he sort of walked out and got a part. And, you know, but I'd rather get involved with, like, good quality sort of Canadian film if I can.
And there's so much good quality Canadian film. I think a lot of it's being filmed in the States. But I know myself because I have some director friends and things. You know, I'm quite a bit older than you probably imagine, but I've been dating for a long time in this world, and I have people that are all in different industries, and it's amazing how much work there is Canadian films being filmed in the States, and how many American films are being filmed here. And I'm kind of like, why are we not just filming them in our own countries? I don't really get that. But anyway,
that's weird.
It is weird. Yeah, it's a strange world out there. I'm glad I'm not in it. But you apparently want to get into it, so all the power to you. I have some question that's really, really picking me, and I want to ask it before we have a few more minutes before the break here. And that is, you put yourself down as a swinger in your profile, which to me is very appealing. And what does that mean to you?
What does swinger? Well, first of all, my profile is for Teddy Smooth.
Not you. Oh, too bad.
Well, I mean, he's a part of me. It is definitely that is definitely his page and that side of, you know, the burlesque side of me and stuff. But I have quite a few different sides. What swinger means to me, I just sort of means, like, you know, and for me it doesn't mean what a lot of people would call it. I just sort of see it as, like, being sort of free love and being able to not put labels on yourself of whether I'm this or that. I hear so many people struggling, you know, it's like, am I this or am I that?
Yes.
Well, why even label yourself?
Right.
I mean, yes, swinger is a label, but I mean, I just sort of mean, like, I enjoy, you know, meeting people and having different stuff. So I don't want to, like, say I'm sort of one thing or the other. I just like to meet people and have a good time.
Awesome. So do you find people are more intrigued by you when they find out that you do boylesque? How do you deal with that?
Well, to be completely honest, people have been intrigued with me before boylesque, but
very good.
But it depends, really. I mean, it depends what crowd. I mean, if it's sort of a normal sort of muggle crowd or something like that.
Muggle.
Is that from Harry Potter?
Reference.
So people that aren't involved in burlesque?
Yeah, well,
people that aren't as evolved sexually as we are?
Sure.
Is that what you mean?
There's a lot of people that they might smile or, you know, but they don't understand. I mean, not a lot of people do. You say burlesque, and the only thing that people will hear of your description is the stripping part. It's like, so they automatically assume that you're, like, you know, a sailor outfit with your penis tied off. So it's hard to explain, but yeah, sure, there's been definitely the opposite, too. There's definitely interest because I've done it. Like, that, I think, goes for any performer. Look at the ugly band guys out there that, you know, there's something attractive about a performer, someone who's really letting it loose on stage with no sort of inhibitions and that sort of power that they can hold over an audience to make them laugh. And that's pretty powerful stuff.
It is. Are there any local performances that we should look forward to?
For me? Well, we're working on doing another Big Band Boobies because we're looking to actually tour with it a little bit because of such the get-up, so I'd be involved with that. For myself, I know I've sort of tentatively booked. There's a burlesque all-star is supposedly happening, I think, in June. They changed the date to June, and they wanted a boylesque person to do that, so I've done that. And I don't know, just sort of here and there, auditions for films as well. Mm-hmm. So those don't obviously get seen by very many people, or it takes like 4 or 5 months to complete. So I'm just trying to do lots of stuff, just trying to keep everything on the go, try to keep the momentum going. And
well, we look forward to, hopefully we'll have you on the Juicebox Salon in the next couple of weeks when Julia does the piece. So thank you so much for being on our show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you, listeners. We'll take a short break. Keep that dial locked, and you're going to hear a candid interview with Madeline Manger of Screaming Chicken, and she's going to give us a scoop on becoming burlesque. We welcome your calls during this time. Especially, give us a call at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. You're in Juice Box, featured on Vancouver CITR 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Then give me some of this.
Shake it, Dix, shake it, Dix. Shake it, Dix, shake it, Dix.
Okay, how about you girls? You women? You ladies, are you with peaches? All right, then. Let's try this. Are you ready?
Shake it, Dix, shake it, Dix. Shake it, Dix, shake it, Dix. Swinging in their face, lying back and staking their own space. We're gonna kick it now and take your place. Come on and give us a taste. I'm not the only one with body to kill. I like to see just how you swing that thrill. Come on, baby, baby, use that thing. You make my panties go pink. Shake it, Dix, shake it, Dix.
Shake it, Dix, shake it, Dix.
Shake it, Dix, shake it, Dix. I know you all play bottom and top. I know you all like a hot box. Girls, you ready to flip it again? Keep it so that it never ends. Shake it, tits, shake it, tits.
Shake it, tits, shake it, tits.
Shake it, tits, shake it, tits.
Shake it, tits, shake it, tits, shake it, tits, shake it, tits, shake it.
Shake it, dicks, shake it, tits.
Shake it, dicks, shake it, tits.
Shake it, dicks, shake it, tits.
Shake it, tits, shake it, tits, shake it, tits, shake it, tits, shake it.
For the fatherfuckers, all the fatherfuckers ready for the motherfuckers, all the motherfuckers ready for the fatherfuckers, no. All the motherfuckers ready for the fatherfuckers, all the fatherfuckers ready for the motherfuckers, all the motherfuckers ready for the fatherfuckers, no. Girls and boys, they want it all. Lay back and make the call. You make that flip, yeah, really quick. And keep it so slow, it's sick. You gotta shake your dicks and your tits. I'll be me and you be you. Shake your dicks and shake your tits. And let me be you too.
Shake your dicks, shake your tits.
Shake your dicks, shake your tits.
Shake your dicks, shake your tits.
Shake your dicks, shake your tits, shake your dicks, shake your tits. All the motherfuckers ready for the fatherfuckers. All the fatherfuckers ready for the motherfuckers. All the motherfuckers ready for the fatherfuckers. No. For the fatherfuckers, all the fatherfuckers ready for the motherfuckers, all the motherfuckers ready for the fatherfuckers, no. Are the fatherfuckers ready for the motherfuckers? Are the motherfuckers ready for the fatherfuckers? No. Are the motherfuckers ready for the fatherfuckers? Are the fatherfuckers ready for the motherfuckers? Are the motherfuckers ready for the fatherfuckers? No.
Shake your dicks, shake your tits.
Shake your dicks, shake your tits.
Shake your dicks, shake your tits.
Shake your dicks, shake your tits, shake your dicks, shake your tits, shake your tits.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Juicebox Radio. We've got Melody Mangler joining us for the second half an hour as we continue discussing burlesque and reviewing the second annual International Burlesque Fest that was held in Vancouver just 10 days ago. Melanie is from Screaming Chicken, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, Melody. Thank you.
Hi.
You're on the air in Juicebox.
Hello.
Hello.
Everyone in Radio Land.
You are a busy woman, and you performed every night of the festival. So how did you enjoy doing the shows?
It's a little quiet. I can't really hear what the questions are.
I was just saying that you're incredibly busy, and you're performing every night of the festival. Can you hear me now?
Not really.
Whoa, okay, that's crazy.
I'm going to move over to the
three.
Side.
Yeah, we'll put you on three. All right. So sorry, we're having issues with the technical.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. Sorry about technical difficulty, every reader, our listeners, and I don't know where I'm going here with that.
She's been working all day.
I've been working all day. I apologize. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for calling in. What I wanted to say is I commend you. You're busy every night of that festival, and so how did you enjoy the show overall?
Oh, man, it was such a blast, because the whole point we do it is to get together with the community and really meet people. I mean, you see burlesque performers on the internet, and, you know, you read their profiles on MySpace and whatnot, or you just do random searches and just Google at the costumes, right? Like, it's so cool to actually meet with these people face-to-face and just talk about this crazy thing we do.
How long have you been performing yourself?
Burlesque, about three years.
Nice. And what made you get into it?
I really just like to goof off and be the center of attention.
Yeah.
I think we can all relate to that.
But actually, it started at the Cobalt.
Nice.
And, the punk bar downtown by my main street, Science World SkyTrain station. And we started a R-rated game show there where we were just doing horrible things to people for cheap prizes. And we added dancing girls.
Nice.
Yeah, and just made it a crazy party.
Awesome.
That's awesome. For the all the different types of performance, you did quite a few different ones over the course of, well, I guess since you started, but especially during the festival. What was your favorite performance?
I'm a big fan of the group numbers.
Okay.
And we did do two Screaming Chicken group numbers, an eight-person all-female number, and then the singing number, Hymen's Our Girl's Best Friend.
Hymen's Our Girl's Best Friend.
That one I got to be a bit more the center of attention and sing goofy lyrics, hence Melody Mangler.
Nice.
But
that's my mother's name. I love
Hymen.
I'd like to know more about Hymen's. I wish we need to have more of a longer interview with you, because I'd like to know what you mean about the Hymen's Our Girl's Best Friend.
I know mine was painful when it popped, so.
And I actually educate young teens about their hymens all the time, and the questions are always, is it going to hurt? How much am I going to bleed?
Oh,
tell me
hurts.
The truth. Blah, blah,
I bled.
Blah, all this
it was
stuff.
Painful.
And
lots.
I could perform the number at school.
maybe I could get you on my bill, Melody.
Yeah.
That would be very entertaining.
I'm curious to know what your show is about. But anyway, all right.
What kind of process do you use when you're creating a piece?
Well, there's just the initial brainstorming session, like just writing out anything, you know, keep a journal. Anything that pops in your head that you think is funny, like late at night or anything, just make sure you write it down. Mm-hmm. And then you take all the root ideas and just talk with people, bounce ideas off of people. And, you know, certain songs pull to you, or, you know, you'll get an idea stuck in your head. It's really just drawing from everywhere and making sure you're constantly gathering the information together.
Nice. Would you use that technique in terms of both solo work as well as when you're doing a group number?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
And would you use that, do you encourage that when you teach your, I love the fact that you're teaching a Becoming Burlesque class. Do you use that in the class?
It's this class, we just had the first class last night. And we have 11 students.
Nice.
Your very first
amazing.
Class?
It's like a packed full studio of just like hot booty shake in action.
So first class of 2 months worth, hang before they do the grad?
Yeah, and two months. So we really do want to get the technique down with them because it just makes life so much easier. Mm-hmm. And you can put out really quality numbers and feel very confident when you're up on stage.
Nice.
Knowing that you've put 2 months of hard work into building just one number.
Mm-hmm. With that class, because you're mentioning you go over hair, you go over your makeup, do you actually teach them some basic burlesque steps as well that they can put in, or do you encourage them just, as you're saying, putting together a journal, writing down all the ideas, brainstorming, all that sort of thing? Because I take it with the class, do they do solo pieces, or?
Yep, they do solo pieces. If students want, they can combine to do duos if mm-hmm. they're not totally comfortable but still want to get up on stage and have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with a larger class, it allows for that.
Nice.
But, we do. I teach, there's aerobic classes involved that go through the history of erotic movement. So it's the learn and burn class. So we go over, you know, right from the tableau vivant posing to the Moulin Rouge can-can dancing to the Charleston, you know, to all these different types of dance moves.
Nice.
And then we actually have a dance instructor come in from one of the other burlesque troupes to teach them movement, counting styles, mm-hmm. rhythms. And then we have another girl, Darla Devine from Screaming Chicken, come in to teach more striptease techniques.
Nice.
So you really get the full gamut throughout the course of different dance styles.
I sounds think Julie like and I need to take that class.
I want to take it so badly, but it sounds like the BCIT of burlesque. I mean,
We're trying. We're building it up.
So fabulous.
For you personally, have you had any roadblocks in terms of becoming a burlesque performer? Like, have your friends and family been particularly supportive?
Everyone's really supportive. I think the biggest thing is just trying to, you know, keep financial matters going while you're putting so much into your costumes, your stage show. You're mm-hmm. constantly outputting.
Yes,
so much
no kidding.
That it's hard to, you know, keep your day job going strong.
Exactly.
And like,
I hear you. I'm putting together my first
starving artist
thing. Yes, I'm putting together my first big performance in a week tomorrow. So yeah, I'm feeling that as well.
Yeah,
getting the reality check big time. Yeah.
How do you make time for day job and do your burlesque? Or do you kind of have to just to keep paying for all the costumes and things like you're mentioning?
I pick weird day jobs. That's
such
the only
as?
Way I've been able to figure out how to work it. Bartending.
Like what?
Bartending works well.
Yep. Okay.
Extra work, as I was doing today.
Okay.
Extra work.
You're really lucky that you can get a bartending job, though. That's not, like, the easiest job to get.
There's no easy way.
Have you found that performing and teaching, has it changed you personally?
Yes, definitely.
In what way?
I think, in burlesque, your character, I like to say that your character is yourself at your best times 10.
Nice.
So carrying yourself in that way and being in that for so long, it really, you almost get comfortable being yourself times 10 at your best.
So would you find that?
You know, and then I've also heard that you don't really learn something till you teach it. So that also helps,
right,
too, as you get more comfortable and you're like going through something and somebody has a problem with something and you're like, wait, I figured it out. This works. This is it. Okay, I get it now. You learn.
Wow, you know, I'm really feeling it right now because I'm, being a teacher of sex education, I'm just, getting that one too. Melody, I think we need to have you on for a whole show.
I think so too, definitely.
So I have some questions.
We want to know if you're dating right now.
Oh, I'm off the market. I just got married January 6th of this year.
What?
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's the executive director of Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society, so
Wow. This
doesn't take me away from him at all. We run it together. And
wow.
Is this how you met originally, like by working together, or did you know each other and create Screaming Chicken together?
Yeah.
How did that work?
Yeah, we created it.
And were you a couple at that point, or did you get together just through the work? Or
No, we were a couple. We pretty much met, and that was it. So.
Nice.
What? Yeah. So why did you call it Screaming Chicken?
I've been wondering that one, too.
It was between erotic walrus and hemorrhaging antelope, and we thought that Screaming Chicken sounded... Well, it does... You know, a lot of people pick sexy names for their burlesque companies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we definitely played with a lot of that, and it's really hard, because then you're stuck with the name for the rest of...
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
But this, it keeps everything so open, and it's kind of funny, and it's just kind of us. to. And always when it's right around production's time, I feel like I'm running around like a chicken with my head.
Yeah, yeah.
Understood.
Yeah.
Very appropriate.
So you had some fun with it then. So it sounds like, well, I think the hemorrhaging, whatever it was, is really glad.
I know, the hemorrhaging walrus or whatever. What is the obsession with animals is what I was going to ask, although I do understand the chicken factor.
Yeah, I don't know, but we have our little mascot, too. It's this little squeezy chicken. You squeeze him and he springs, bringing to shows.
And it gets you going. I'd like to be your mascot one day. If you guys do a really big deal sometime.
Oh, that's another job you can do.
Yes.
I did mascot work for a while. It pays pretty good.
Nice.
And apparently
but people will beat you up at hockey games, so it's not very much fun.
Yeah, have you been beaten up before?
You're never going to one of my shows again.
Of course. Well, Teddy Smooth can probably specify what it's like to have to do these kind of jobs. I mean, he was doing the standardized patient and having to pretend to be a patient for the doctors in training. Anyway,
I've actually gone through that before, so I can relate to that. Getting a pelvic inflammatory disease. The check for that, where they keep poking your stomach and you have 50 students doing that over the course of 8 hours, you have bruises on your stomach after that.
Wow.
It is not fun.
Wow. Okay, no, this is a good little segue. So so how do men, do you ever talk about, I guess you don't really care because you're married now, but could you think back, how do men react when you tell them that you're a burlesque performer?
Well, definitely one thing I get
do you
is
wait?
Like,
yeah.
why do you put on pasties? Like, why are you curving at the nipple? Right. And, you know, and it's just kind of silly because I like to think it makes the nipple look more lewd,
luscious.
Right? It's like drawing attention to the sequins.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Look at me, I'm spinning around.
Yeah. The sequins rock, dude.
Know.
I've got like four pairs.
Funny, but it almost, I think it burlesque almost makes it okay for guys too, to appreciate the female form and not feel like all quiet, you know, and, you know, not looking around. Do they have to go and like go on a big testosterone trip? They can go with a girlfriend and it's, you know, and they can be loud and cheer, and it's maybe a bit easier, or breaks the ice.
As opposed to going to a strip club?
Yeah, as opposed to going to a strip club.
Which is very sexual. I think that the burlesque is sensual and it's playful, and it's more about like the flirtation of what sexuality and partnering is really about, you know, and dating. And whereas, you know, going to the strip club is like, this is where we get down to the funk.
Yeah.
You know,
like, we've had a lot of people come up to us. Like, this is one of the most fun things. We've had a lot of, like, 30-year-olds, like, 40-year-old couples coming up to us after the show and being like, wow, we just watched your show, and then after we watched your show, we went home and had the best sex we'd had in so long.
I think burlesque is almost...
And to hear that, it's like, wow.
You're like, yay.
Yeah.
That's inspiring.
Yes.
Cool.
I think that's really good.
Yes, it is inspiring.
It's inspiring, but you do a lot to empower women, I think, just through burlesque, teaching that course, and you're mentioning about burlesque aerobics. What is that?
Every Sunday at our studio at 2280 East Hastings.
You're going to have to keep that down.
Where is that?
What's
Hastings
the cross street?
I'm there.
Where
and,
is it? Sorry,
where's the
I have
street?
About five different classes I have on rotation right now for burlesque aerobics. It's about 25 minutes of cardio, intense, just dancing, working out, sweating, and then 20 minutes of strength training using traditional burlesque props.
Nice.
And you know, why use suit
like
pants
fans
and you
things?
Can use cute fans.
So wait a minute, you use 20 minutes of strength training using traditional burlesque props. So what are traditional burlesque props?
So like a boa.
Fans.
You know, there's lots of like winding around and just having your arms doing stuff, flicking, winding, twirling,
licking.
Fans, the fanning motion, and that really that's really working you out there. And it also helps because you can fan yourself off partway through the workout.
And not to mention all the exercise, all the muscles you're working in your face as you smile and laugh. I can imagine
exactly.
The laughing would be fabulous. Yeah.
It's just a really fun time. And like, I have a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm not a dancer, or, you know, I don't know, I'm not in the best shape. And it really is just about showing up and dancing around and having fun.
Wow. Do you wear heels for it?
No.
Bare feet?
Bare feet, jazz shoes. Runners.
Jazz shoes. It's been a long time since I bought a pair of those. Maybe I should invest in one. I'm sure my feet won't grow anymore. I had to get like six pairs and I finally gave up. My mother's like, I'm not buying you another pair of jazz shoes. I haven't gotten a pair since I was 15. Anyway, when is the Becoming Burlesque show that you guys are doing? When is that
class?
Coming up?
Oh, it is being booked right now.
But yeah.
Fabulous. Oh, wow.
The last class, this is the date to look out for, because the last class is April 24th.
Okay.
So it will probably be that upcoming weekend.
Nice.
End of April, so the 30th, so right around when everyone's finished their exams and school here, university, and...
You're going to have to send us a press release around that time so we can promote the show if it's for the general public. Are they able to, or is it just for friends and family for... Where do you usually perform it? Is it at your studio space, or...?
No, we'll probably end up using somewhere like the Anza Club or the Media Club.
Okay.
Somewhere nice affordable.
Look like that, intimate.
Affordable with the stage and a back dressing room. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Nice.
Fabulous. Well, we'll make sure that we promote it for you.
That'd be great. What's up next for you personally? You guys have is it my imagination, or do you guys have a show on the 30th of March?
We do.
And where's it going
to be? At the place where we started all the Cobalt.
Oh, the
really?
Cobalt. We started this conversation at the Cobalt. You and your husband, what is his name?
Pardon?
What's your husband's name?
Oh, Norm, or as we like to call him, Mr. On.
Mr. On.
Norm's the one who...
It's Norm backwards.
Norm gave us the press passes here at... he's the one who responded to the email and said, of course, come. And so he gave Juicebox 2 press passes, and Norm, we used them, you darling. And so now you guys started out at the Cobalt, and you're going to be having a Cobalt show on the 30th of March. How romantic. So what is the story here? What's going on then?
It was the story of the show, or
yeah. What's the theme?
It's there's no theme. It's a vulgar variety show.
Vulgar.
We have everybody pulling out their best stuff. It's going to be funny.
Vulgar.
Dirty. There's going to be a whole lot.
I like
of
the
us.
Alliteration.
Yeah.
Vulgar variety. Fabulous. It sounds like you girls and boys and whomever else is having it, Screaming Chicken, should be on the next Juicebox Salon as well. It sounds like
that'd be fun.
I've got the lineup here. Did you know about the salon? Are you familiar with it happening in a week tomorrow?
Explain exactly.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's about that time you should
explain.
Well,
we'll talk about it later. I don't know, in a few minutes, I suppose. But it's a salon. Okay, fine. It's
Go ahead, Julie. You want to talk about it. Yes, you do, and I love it.
Okay, you know, it's fine. It's a salon. I've dreamed about this thing for many, many years, and I'm putting together sort of a vulgar variety show of my own, except it's going to be kind of a little bit of sex education weaved in between acrobatics and very sensuous entertainment, and I'm not going to say much more about it because we're going to talk about it in about 5 minutes from now. I want to finish my conversation with you, Melody Mangler.
Okay.
So, besides the vulgar variety show on the 30th of March at the Cobalt...
Yep, the Taboo Review, the official name of it.
Oh, sorry, Taboo Review. That's quite different.
Okay.
Than the vulgar variety.
I like that.
I like that, too. What's next for you? Like, when are your next shows? Like, what are you seeing for Screaming Chicken, you and Norm? What are you sort of seeing in the next...
I think just we really like being a facilitator for performers to hone their craft and work on things and just to have fun. We have a tour probably coming up at the end of May.
Where
we're going to do BC, Alberta.
Oh.
And, of course, every year around Halloween, we have Edward's Orgy of the Dead.
Oh, I went to
at
this.
At the Wise Hall. Oh,
that was incredible. I went to this one last year.
Educate me, guys.
Bigger,
I've never been.
More gore. We're going to really work on spraying the audience a whole lot more this year.
So nasty.
Really?
It was
describe
so
it. I've never seen it.
Well, Melody, I'll let you describe it. You describe it, honey. I was an audience member two nights in a row.
And I'm the virgin for it.
It's oh my God, it's so much. I'm trying to describe it without spoiling it, but let me just say 10 hot dancers in full special effects gore makeup, ripping off things, pulling out things, exploding things out of things. I don't want to ruin it too much, let's just say.
Well, it was incredible.
A lot of surprises.
It was incredibly entertaining, and I highly recommend whoever's listening for October or looking forward to that. If you're not looking, like, forget October. We're not even getting into the flowers budding yet, but make sure you book your schedule for that one. Orgy of the Dead.
Yeah.
So, but you're thinking more about teaching, facilitating, you're really getting into supporting people to be burlesque. which is a gift that most of us don't even have an understanding of. I think that Caroline, you've sort of started to do this with your pole dancing. She's a pole dancing instructor, bringing out the sexy in people.
And we teach get ready for the stage, which is a little different. But I think I've always wanted to do burlesque myself, so I think it's pretty exciting.
I think we should do the show. I think we should have maybe a 50% off thing to review it and have a big juice box show about it. But we'll talk about that with you later, Melody.
Are we allowed to do that, Uncle?
Of course.
All right, just checking.
We can do whatever we want, except for swear and whatever. Not swear, we can swear. Just as long as we're not derogatory and have sex on air. And there's a whole long list, but I'm sure that none of us would ever imagine doing any of those things. So.
No, of course not. Never having sex on air, even though Hans just came in.
Hans, yes. When Hans Claus comes in, the Juicebox girls want to have sex immediately. And he has arrived. So we're about to get off the air. And
Melody, thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Melody, thank you. And we would love to have you on again. And maybe we should have you and Norm on, your husband.
Yeah.
That would be really great.
We could talk more about like what you do and do not do in bed, which is more what Juicebox likes to talk about. So.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And everybody, I hope, I hear clicking and dial tones. And on that note, I don't know what everybody's doing this weekend, but the Sweet Slow Burlesque girls are going to be having a little wee party at the Dollhouse, which is their space, which you can check them out at sweetsoulbiz.com.
And we really like to advocate for their parties because they're just so hot.
Oh, they're so amazing.
And since we're reviewing the second annual International Burlesque Festival tonight, they had the after party. They were the producers.
One of the producers.
Yeah. And Screaming Chicken Norm was there as well. Because Norm obviously gave us the ticket. So Screaming Chicken was there as well as producers. And it was such an amazing weekend of entertainment. And I highly recommend, and empowerment as well. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend going next year to the third annual. I know there will be one. Mm-hmm. But they had the after party. And it was absolutely sexy, amazing. They had a swing there. I had too much imbibement.
Imbibement. I like that word,
and so
Julia.
I couldn't get on the swing, and I had to leave shortly thereafter.
It's a secret garden party this time. And secret,
yes, pagan. It's pagan. All about the pagan.
Really?
Yeah.
I always still think of Secret Garden like that book from when we were a little kid, which I knew it had nothing to do with that, so I wasn't sure if I should dress up as a sexy Adam and Eve thing or something like that and figure out how to put leaves all over my body.
Fairies and earth and Gaia woman.
The Luscious Dance girls are actually going to be there dressed as fairies, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's the fairies and fools of the burlesque Sweet Soul variety, I'm sure.
That should be fun.
So we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. I want to just quickly mention about the salon. It is a week tomorrow. Doors are at 7, shows at 7:30. We're over half sold out. There's only about 30 tickets left. So please come join Julia and Juicebox Salon Styles and Michael Bean and many others for acrobatics for Burlesque by Little Woo. There's going to be a sexy circus duo by Ryan and Dawn. Amazing performances, devil stories, life drawing. There's going to be nude life drawing as well. Intermission is going to be a lengthy intermission with music, tarot cards. It's going to be one of the most unusual evenings that Vancouver's ever hosted and ever seen. So I highly recommend you check it out. Tantric tidbits and more. Julia is going to be the mistress of ceremonies. So that's me. So I hope you make it. It will be a one-time only experience.
And I hope you guys.
Thank you very much for being in Juicebox tonight. We're so happy to have you. And Hans Claus is coming up.
And it's going to be pretty sexy because he is Hans Claus's Misery Hour. And I think he's a really sexy man to be miserable with.
Yes.
Oh, he's Look at him shrugging.
Let him guide you into the wee hours with his ambient collection of music and his super hot voice.
Very hot voice. That accent is very hot.
We listen to it all the way home. Thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. We'll be back next week
at the sexy hour of 10 p.m.
Every week is different.
I know.
PM,
we always
o'clock.
Do this.
We don't know. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
down.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to give it to me.